Shabbat Shalom. Pray with me, please. Father, we just ask that you would speak to us this morning by your word, by your Holy Spirit. You would give us understanding of your word, Lord. And we thank you for gathering us here in your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, and the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord told her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." While Esau goes off to hunt for his father's favorite food, Rebekah dresses Jacob in Esau's clothes, covers his arms and necks with goat skins to simulate the feel of his hairier brother, prepares a similar dish and sends Jacob to his father. Jacob receives his father's blessings for the dew of heaven and the fat of the land and mastery over his brother. When Esau returns and a deception is revealed, all Isaac can do for his weeping son is to predict that he will live by his sword, and that when Jacob falters, the younger brother will forfeit his supremacy over the elder. God told Rebekah that the older would serve the younger. She even goes as far as to accept responsibility and a curse, if necessary, for the deception. Now, we've all read this story before, but have we really understood what it represents to us? When the twins, Jacob and Esau, were born, Esau came first, technically making him the firstborn. And as the firstborn son, Esau automatically held the birthright. A birthright was an honor given to the firstborn, bestowing head of household status and the right to inherit his father's estate. The son without the birthright would receive, the son with the birthright would receive a double portion of whatever was passed down. And that is outlined in Deuteronomy 21. Yet even before the twins were born, the Lord told Rebekah that Esau would serve Jacob. And we can read that in Genesis 25. Later, in Genesis 25, Esau sold his birthright, giving it up for a meal because he was hungry. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. When it came time for Isaac to bless his sons, Jacob deceived his father into giving him Esau's blessing instead. And again, Rebekah told Jacob that if there was a curse, let it fall on her. A blessing could be given regardless of birthright. However, a greater blessing was given to the one who held the birthright. After Jacob's deception, Esau complained, "He took my birthright. And now he's taking my blessing." Esau begged his father for some type of blessing to be given to him, and he did receive a secondary inferior blessing. But we have to remember, Jacob did not take his birthright. He sold it for a bowl of stew. An interesting parallel took place later in the life of Jacob. Jacob's son Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the elder son and should have received the birthright. But when Jacob bestowed his blessing upon his grandsons, he crossed his hands, much to Joseph's surprise, placing his right hand on the younger son. In this way, Ephraim, the younger son, received the greater blessing. In Genesis 49, Jacob gave blessings to each of his 12 sons. Unfortunately, Reuben, the firstborn, had forfeited his birthright due to a great sin. The birthright was instead given to Joseph's sons. All of Jacob's sons received some sort of blessing. Now, while the birthright belonged to the firstborn son, anyone could receive a blessing. In the time of the patriarchs, this, such a blessing acted as the last will and testament and were highly prized. The birthright emphasized in the Bible because it honored the rights and privileges of the family's firstborn. After the father died or in the father's absence, the firstborn son assumed the father's authority and responsibilities. However, the Bible shows that the father could rescind the birthright and pass it on to a younger son. Again, in the case of Jacob and his 12 sons, Reuben forfeited his birthright. Now, we are warned in Scripture not to imitate Esau, who on impulse gave away his birthright for a bowl of stew. Because of his foolishness, Esau lost his birthright and the blessings of his father. Now, the lesson for us is to respect what is holy. We should never throw away what is important, godly, or honorable for the sake of temporary pleasure. God wants his best for us. Now, in Malachi 1, verses 2 to 3, we read that God hated Esau, but loved Jacob. Now, why did God hate Esau? Well, what does the Bible mean when it says God hated Esau? I believe the clearest way to explain this is to go to the book of Romans in the New Testament. In the verse, Malachi is repeated saying, as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I have hated. Now, the Greek word for here, hated, is meseo. Basically, what it means to have is not really hate in our sense of the understanding hate, but to have a preference for something over another. Your children never say, I hate spinach. Well, they probably do really hate spinach, but they would prefer something other than spinach. That's the idea here. In Luke, Yeshua says, if any man come to me and not hate his father, mother, wife, children, sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Again, the same word there is used. If you put anything before Yeshua, God, that's what he's talking about. He must be first. I believe this is exactly what God was saying when he loved Jacob and hated Esau. It wasn't that he literally hated Esau, but rather he chose Jacob over Esau as the person through which the Israelites and the Messianic line would come. Another example in the Old Testament is where Jacob loved also Rachel more than Leah. And we read, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. I believe this shows us Jacob literally didn't hate Leah, but he put Rachel ahead of Leah. Isaac and Rebekah also did the same thing, where it says Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Okay. A lot of talk about birthrights, blessings. But what does this really mean for us? I always like to leave you with a little bit to take away from here to apply to your lives. Some would teach that Esau certainly lived an ungodly life and God was justified in choosing Jacob over Esau. However, if you study Jacob's life, you will see Jacob certainly had his ungodly moments as well. But then again, don't we all? Number one, put God first. Very simple, but very difficult to do. We need to also remember that we are co-heirs with Yeshua. We need to realize and understand just what that means. Thirdly, I ask you this. What is your bowl of stew? Don't despise what God has done for you in the long run for temporary satisfaction that will not last. Shabbat Shalom.